Rangers' first time in the Stanley Cup Finals since 1994. And as a former New York Ranger, Jason Strudwick told us earlier, his presence 7 years later finally coming through. Finally coming through. Arthur Staple from Newsday in New York joins us. Arthur, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Like, I noticed they had Kovalev and Messi and all these other Rangers. Like, Strudwick didn't get an invite. Did it get missed in the mail?
I don't know. You know, I think Strud's a pretty valuable member of that franchise. Maybe a little bit during the leaner years, but I think all the years between 94 and this year should be represented well.
They're saving it for the finals. It's like Bob Uecker in Boston.
Exactly.
You know, Arthur, this this Rangers team right now, the Dominic Moore situation, definitely maybe more so, you know, Marty St. Louis losing his mother's tough, maybe a little bit different than losing a young wife, but it seems kind of like a rallying cry for this team that has unified them.
Yeah, you know, I think with Dominic's situation, it was kind of more something where he decided to come back and play where he, you know, when he was resuming his career when the season began. And, you know, he's the kind of guy who, much like Brian Boyle, you don't really notice him quite that much during the regular season, but he seems to come up with big moments in the playoffs. And, you know, obviously last night was a pretty big moment. And, you know, I don't think he's other than that great ESPN piece, he's talking too much about it. You know, I think they've actually been talking quite a bit more about Marty's situation. And, you know, I think maybe he was a little bit more vocal about it when he decided to play that game 5 in Pittsburgh. And, you know, the light just went on for everybody. And I think they're just trying, you know, it can be a little awkward, I think, to ask questions about it or really even discuss it because it's the death of a family member and nobody really wants to pick at that wound at all. But they really have seemed to take some inspiration from that and from all these situations that they've got, and they're just running with it. And they really, you know, they played maybe one bad game since Marty decided to come back and play that game, and it's been a remarkable turnaround that they have.
Arthur, Vigneault had some interesting comments after. When asked if he thought he'd be in this position, he basically asked a reporter and said, you know, I would have said, what are you smoking, if you would ask me this back in September, October. So outside of St. Louis and the Dominic Moore storyline, what has gone right on the ice, or what has kind of pushed this team, propelled them to where they are now?
I mean, I think the turnaround during the regular season, it came kind of right around December, January, and I think mostly had to do with Henrik Lundqvist. And he was not good for the first 2 or 3 months of the season. I think, you know, the contract talks definitely affected him. And, you know, once he got that extension done in December, he started to turn it around a little bit and be a little bit, you know, he's a guy who, you know, the mental part of his game is so huge. You know, his focus is really sharp, you know, like a lot of goaltenders, but I think he takes it to a different level. And, you know, when he has a rare bad game like he had in game 5, you know, Alvino kind of said he was angry before the game, before game 6. I maybe confused it a little bit for that, just that intense focus. But I think, you know, Henrik Lundqvist was upset with himself, and, you know, he didn't really have to do a whole lot in game 6, but when he had to make some saves, boy, he was good. And, you know, he's always their driving force. I think as far as the playoffs go, obviously taking away the, you know, not just the inspirational aspect, but I think the return of Chris Kreider to the lineup after his injury. He came back in game 4 of the Pittsburgh series, and he was a little rusty in that. But just the way that he plays with the size and the speed, it really creates so much speed for those top three lines. Now they've got Hagelin and St. Louis on one line. They've got Zuccarello and Broussard on another, and then they've got Kreider on that top line. With Nash too, it kind of opens things up for him. You got six guys, all your wingers basically, who can play with speed. And I think it took the Penguins D a little bit by surprise once they got it going there in 5, 6, and 7. And the Canadiens defense was just, I don't know what was going on with them other than PK Subban. They just couldn't handle any of it. And really, you know, you think when you get Carey Price out of there, that would be an easy time. But if it wasn't for Dustin Tokarski, I don't think the Canadiens would have won a game in this series. So. Yeah, I just think the return of Kreider kind of solidified things, and also just playoffs go, Ryan McDonagh took his game to a whole new level in this Montreal series. I don't know if he was wanting to really stick it to the Canadiens for trading him, but he was unbelievable, and I think those are kind of the biggest factors right now why they are where they are.
Arthur Staple from Newsday in New York joins us. I'm sure the Rangers will be watching tonight and hoping for a Game 7 on Sunday just to fatigue these teams potentially a little bit more. pick your poison. You've got the last two Stanley Cup winners in Chicago and Los Angeles. Which team do you see as a better matchup for the Rangers?
I would say the Hawks. I just think, you know, Corey Crawford is not Jonathan Quick. He never will be. And I think the Rangers can capitalize on a goalie who gives up a couple of soft ones. And I just think the Hawks are a little bit more banged up, a little bit more vulnerable defensively. You know, the Rangers are an opportunistic team. I just see the way the Kings play with their size and their, you know, their ability to kind of get in and just hammer away at teams' defenses. It just seems pretty scary right now the way they're playing. And I think Rangers were not a very high-scoring team this season. So I think a guy like Quick, if he can shut the door on them, they might get a little frustrated. So I think it's Chicago. Probably a better matchup, but I've been wrong pretty much along this playoffs and thinking what the Rangers are going to do. So it'll probably be LA, and the Rangers might jump up on them 2-0. Who knows? So, just on paper, I think the Hawks are a better matchup for them.
Vigneault took the Canucks to Game 7 of Stanley Cup Finals, didn't win. Has he talked at all about how he's changed as a coach after going through that experience?
I don't see that he's changed a whole lot. I think, you know, you're in the mix with a different team, and obviously the Rangers were used to a much different voice with John Tortorella and a much different style of play, you know. I think maybe the one thing that Vigneault said that he learned was from that run to the finals is you've got to have four lines, you've got to be able to roll all 18 guys, you know, maybe take one of them out. And that's the only way you can make it deep run, and I think that's the only way this team, not just because of the clutch goals that Boyle and Moore have had, but more just the physical toll it takes to play 2 7-game series and go into a conference final like this. You got to even out your minutes and keep your top guys fresh, and they've been able to do that, and he's stuck with it. You know, he could have pulled a couple guys, stapled a couple guys to the bench at times during the series for bad play or bad penalties, but he didn't do it. He stuck with guys like Benoit Pouliot, and you know, the dividends paid off. The guys are all seemingly pretty fresh and, you know, not feeling too worn down by it. And I think you saw the worn down aspect hurt the Canadians and hurt the Penguins a little bit too.
Arthur, the Rangers don't have anybody really leading them offensively. St. Louis, Stepan, and McDonough lead the team with 13 points. You know, you've got, I think, 8 guys with 10, between 10 and 13. Rick Nash, of course, gets paid like a superstar. He doesn't produce like one in the regular season and even in the postseason. I know he was a lot better in that series against Montreal, finally got off the schneid in that blowout in Game 1. When you look at Nash's game, his shots would say that he's getting a lot of chances. Are they good scoring chances? Is he shooting from the outside? What does Nash need to do to start putting the shots into the back of the net and rather than just on the shot totals?
I know. I think he's still a little bit too quick to either shoot or pass the puck. He's not quite driving the net the way that we think of him doing over the, you know, throughout the course of his career, the kind of power moves that made him a superstar. But, you know, I think you don't want to throw in the coaching cliches, but he's contributing in a lot of different ways. He's been a very dependent killer. You know, he's been hitting people, not turning away from checks in the offensive zone. You know, I think this is not a team other than Lundqvist that's really superstar driven, and they don't really look to any one guy to kind of make them go. And, you know, I think, I don't know whether he's embraced that through someone telling him to embrace it, or he's just decided that this is, he's not going to have to be the guy and lug the puck and do all those kinds of things. And it seems to be working. They're just a very egalitarian team. And he seems to be fitting right in despite the much larger paycheck. I think the success maybe is coming for him when he realizes that everybody needs to contribute, not just him. And maybe he's, been guilty of trying to do too much in the past and shrunken from that. So, you know, he seems to just be one of the guys out there, and he'll occasionally produce a big play. And, you know, if he doesn't, it's not anything that's too frustrating for him.
Which center for the Rangers would most likely have the matchup with Jonathan Toews or Kopitar?
I would think that the Derek Brassard line would probably get that responsibility. I get the sense that Vigneault is more concerned about who's on the ice defensively. And, the way Mark Stahl has played, I think he stumbled a little bit the last couple games for them. But, you know, him and Anton Strahlman as the secondary pair, and McDonough and Dan Girardi as the top pair, that's another big aspect to this team and why they can contain other teams that have more than one line that can produce for them. So, You know, I would think that it would be Broussard, Zuccarello, and Pouliot out there, but more importantly, McDonough and Girardi will probably get that assignment against the Kopitar line or the Taves line, and then see Stahl try to take that secondary scoring line, whether it's Jeff Carter for the Kings or Patrick Kane for the Hawks. You know, there's a lot of weapons on either of those teams, but I think the Rangers feel like the way that their top three defensemen are playing right now, that they can handle whatever one of those Western teams can throw at them.
Arthur, 20 years ago when the Rangers won the Stanley Cup, of course, there was the strike-shortened season the next year, and it really seemed to lose a lot of momentum. It's been 20 years since they've been back. Are the Rangers, are they the talk of New York, or do they need to win the Stanley Cup to really become the talk of New York?
No, they're kind of forefront right now. It was a slow start for both of the local teams. Obviously, there's no football right now, and with the basketball teams both being out, you know, the stage is really theirs. I think part of the thing in 94 was the Knicks were right there with them, kind of making a run to Game 7 of the finals in their own right, and it was, you know, it was an electric time. Both teams in the Garden going, you know, all the way to a seventh game of the championship for each of their sport. And yeah, that definitely, the, you know, the following year with the lockout slowed things down a little bit. But I think the way the media is now with, you know, hockey is so big in social media and people talk about things and share videos even more than they used to. You know, I think there's a little bit more attention on them now. I think, the radio shows and the TV shows kind of pick up on all of that chatter online and they're running with a little bit more, I think, than they did 20 years ago when that, all that stuff didn't exist. So yeah, they're definitely being talked about. I think, you know, they were off today, but there were Rangers, you know, Henrik Lundqvist was on both sports talk stations in New York today, and Broussard was as well, Vigneault was as well. So they're all getting out there and getting the word out, and we've got 5 days till the final start. I think certainly some excitement, and there was definitely plenty in the building. I know people have talked since the renovation was finished that, you know, they've priced out a lot of the old average fans from up in the blue seats, but it's certainly been as loud as it's ever been these last few games, six in Pittsburgh, and all three games against the Canadiens. So I anticipate when game three rolls around, it'll be just as loud and there'll be just as much attention.
We appreciate the time, Arthur. Enjoy the lead up to the Stanley Cup final. You got 5 days to hype it up. Should be fun.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.